this morning's message was okay, as far as comfortability for me, as far as the preacher, but not that matters. I preach what God wants me to. But anyway, it's not always comfortable to preach everything that you have to preach from the Word of God. But I'll tell you, this morning's message really was geared towards men and them understanding their responsibility to make a covenant with their eyes, to be careful what they look upon, to be careful what they do. However, this message will deal with the husband and the wife and the importance of that to the family and how they deal with one another in a couple different aspects. Now, we will cover a few other verses in the weeks to come, but this one is a very big topic. And the reason why is, folks, there are marriages that are falling apart all around us, and the reason they are is for this thing that we're going to talk about here this afternoon. This very reason. And I believe, as we look at these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's pray first so I can get right into it. You all got a full belly, so we want to make sure we move fast here, speak fast, and if you start going to sleep, I'll clap around you and wake you up a little bit. I'll tell you to pack up. All right, Father, I pray you bless us now. Help us, Lord. Lord, we need this. Lord, it's not very comfortable for me to preach this. Lord, I pray that you have my tongue to say exactly what you want me to. Nothing more, nothing less. That it be completely biblical and right in your eyes. Lord, I pray that you please would speak to hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Very familiar verses. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Very important verses here, not talked about very much in pulpits today, not really analyzed, but I'll tell you something, the first time somebody will try to deal with a verse like this, well, first of all, they won't deal with a verse like this. What they'll do is they'll talk about things that happen after somebody has fell, after the marriage vows have been broken, after there's somebody that has fornicated or left or walked away from their marriage. They will then talk about these verses, or they will then try to bring up these verses and kind of patch something up. Folks, well, it's not the job of the preacher to primarily patch something up. It's to preach the Word of God to prevent something from happening before it happens. Amen? That's why God gives warning after warning. Really, right in this message, it's called divine instructions for the married, but it could be called many of the divine instructions and warnings for the married. Because I will tell you something right now, this is a major problem today in our husband, between a husband and a wife in our home. It is a major, major problem. It is why marriages, why people are leaving the covenant of marriage, why they are walking away from it, why they are shacking up, why they are living in adultery and fornication, and much of it is always blamed on one side. I will tell you this, and I want you to listen straight. Many marriages are in trouble today. We may think it's only the lost, but friend, it is the saved. Just as many saved are walking out on their wives and committing fornication or adultery, they are doing that. That is happening. It'll happen. I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care who you are. You are capable of getting out of the will of God and getting yourself into a lot of trouble. But it's not just one side. Whether it's a lady or a man, it's both sides. That's why it's a marriage. Amen. That's why it's a covenant together. Those that name the name of Christ are in trouble. The Bible says, my people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. They don't go through these verses. They don't look at these verses. They don't preach on the home and on the family and on the importance of this. Because, oh, this might be a little too shady. Listen, folks, if you keep things biblical, it doesn't have to go any further than that. You understand that? You don't have to say anything any deeper than what is said right here. Just to expound on Scripture that is right here and to get the proper understanding that God would have you to have. concerning his word and concerning marriage. We're largely ignorant of the commands of God concerning marriage. Ladies are flippant in their duties, and husbands neglect to do the things that God has required of them as well. Husbands and wives are working more independently, instead of they too shall be one flesh. They're working independently. You wonder why our families are messed up. It's because two people are going this way instead of one way towards Christ, together, hand in hand. God has required you to work together as husband and wife, to be together, to be a couple, to come together as one. Husbands and wives, separate bank accounts, separate shifts. Husbands and wives spend no time with each other. Some go on separate vacations, stay for long periods of time. We don't look at the sober and solemn commands and the warnings of Scripture over and over again on marriage. Well, let's look at these verses. What do they say? Why does God have these verses here? Why does God, well, the truth has never changed ever since Genesis, amen. God knows the heart of a man better than a man knows his own heart. And God understands exactly what a man, how a man is and how a lady is and what is necessary for the marriage to be successful. The first thing he says here, the apostle says, to avoid fornication, he says, now concerning the things where he wrote in the meat, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Paul knew what a man and woman had in them, and that they, their desire for companionship is there. That's why God made a helpmeet for an Adam was lonely. Adam wanted something more. Adam was not for Adam. He wanted somebody else. Everybody else had, all the other animals had someone. All the animals, excuse me. All the other animals, you didn't catch it off your line. But all the animals, excuse me. All right, just went evolutionary on you. There we go. Great. Edit that out, please. Nothing has changed in 6,000 years, folks. Men still need women, and women still need men.
Amen.
Now, you may be thinking right now, the only thing that Adam needed, or Paul was talking about here, is companionship by someone to cook his food, or clean, or take care of his clothes, or do other things, but you're sorely mistaken. And you may believe that all he needs was a big, strong man to carry the food to it, and till the ground, and protect her from the nearest sea wreck that wanted to eat her alive. But that's not the case either, friend.
Amen.
That's not what's talked about here.
That's right.
That's not what's expressed here. That's not the truth that's coming out here boldly here. Paul says to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife and the wife her own husband. In the previous verse, he says it is not good for a man to touch a woman. What is he referring to when he says that? Now, don't be scared, folks. This will stay biblical. Genesis 20, verse 6 says, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in thy integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Remember that? Remember Abraham had his sister that was actually, wasn't really technically his sister in that case, but she kind of was, but it was actually his wife. Remember he said, and he let the king take her, so the king took her, and then he said, wait a minute. And then God came to the king in dreams and said, I'm going to kill everybody you know. If you don't stop, you don't give him back. He's a prophet. Give him back his wife. Remember that? And he said, but God, I didn't do anything. I didn't know. He told me, I know. That's why I kept you from touching her. So now we understand what that means, right? We understand what that's talking about. It's talking about entering into that covenant, entering into that physical intimacy. He did not do. That's what he was saying. In Proverbs 6:29, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. Again, that word is used. So we understand what Paul is saying here when he explains these commands. It is not good for a man to touch a woman. He's explaining that. It's husbands and wives are the only ones that are supposed to have intimacy, have physical contact. Amen? Between the opposite sex. That's it. For the marriage, for nothing else. Modern day tells you that shacking up is okay, that living with one another is okay, that you don't need marriage. And look how messed up our world is today.
That's right.
You have no idea how much of a problem it is today. Marriage is all over the place. So this very thing that we're talking about. He said it's a very important aspect or benefit of being married is to protect a man or a woman from fornication, which is intimacy out of wedlock. To protect them from that, God said to marry. You understand that, folks? Ladies, gentlemen, are you listening to me? That's what God to you right here. And what he said was, is that husband and wife, you are to come together and not disrupt one another, and the purpose of that is so one doesn't fornicate or commit adultery. Amen. But I'll tell you something right now, folks. If this could get as quiet as it wants to here, that's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you something real clear here. I've seen the other side of it, and I've seen somebody walk out on their husband, and walk out on their wife, and shack up, and live in sin, and it's always looked at this. A man's fault is always the man that did it. But there's two tangles, and there's two bad relationships, folks, and something happened with the breakdown of that marriage. Something took place. Don't you dare tell me it was one-sided. I don't believe it. I've seen both sides of it. But the man will be the first one, the filthy pig of a man will be the first one that is jumped on. I'm not defending men doing wrong. I'm not. It's wicked in the sight of God's eyes, and they'll answer for it.
Right.
What I'm telling you, though, is that what I have seen is that men are the first to be blamed for that. But nobody ever takes this side of the verse and says, wait a minute, no. You're a pastor that's doing that counseling, gets up on a mighty high horse, and jumps down that man's throat, which he should. But then he doesn't go to the other side and say, well, let's talk about this now. Has this been obeyed?
Right. Come on.
Has this been obeyed? Folks, I'm telling you, just counsel a few people and look at them when their marriages are destroyed. And then look at them and listen to them and watch their children and you'll see all of that could have been avoided. It didn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to turn into that. It never has to. But when two people decide not to obey the covenant, they promise before God and decide to pay witnesses to obey, that's what happens. Amen. That's what happens. Ignoring God's divine commands and seeing people fall to sin and divorces happen and everything else is because of this same issue right here. The Bible is very clear on the duties that a husband and a wife have to each other. And it's nothing more than wicked sin when these things are not being obeyed. It's plain sin. It's sin. I don't care what you try to condone it. It's sin.
Yeah, right.
Plain and simple. Now, the Bible clarifies this situation and explains it thoroughly, so there is room for some other things to understand it better. Furthermore, he says this, that they should render unto each other due benevolence. They should render. What that due benevolence means is the disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, charitableness, the love of mankind, accompanied with a desire to promote their happiness. It means to be kind one to another. We'll cover this in another week, though, just this verse, due benevolence. Because I thought they had another problem with marriage, a very strong problem with marriage, is that two people are not kind to one another. They don't consider each other. They don't consider each other's needs. And I don't mean just those needs that we're covering here, but in a whole. All of the needs that a lady has, all of the needs that a husband has, they don't consider one another. They don't render unto each other due benevolence. And then what happens? Bitterness sets in. And when bitterness sets in, anything can happen.
Right.
Sin fills the heart and the marriage is destroyed. Amen.
Right.
It denotes the idea of giving what is rightfully theirs to have and not withholding ourselves from each other in love, in emotions, in spiritual as well as physical. Due benevolence, the right that is theirs. Did you hear what I said? The right that was theirs, that is theirs, excuse me. We'll talk about that whole due benevolence in another week, though. Kindness in this area should be extended one to another and not denied. Deep hurts and pain are caused by rejection, and they do lead to fornication. By the way, they do lead to that. They don't have to, but they very easily can. Amen. And it's very sad, but it leads to adultery. That's what it leads to. And folks, I'm telling you, people don't like this type of preaching a lot of times because it does narrow in on certain things and it's not comfortable. And I don't like to do it either, but I'll tell you something. It is very important and vital.
Amen.
Because I've seen people destroyed by this. Walk out on each other and leave. Pastors. Pastors' wives. People that you would think it would never happen to. Deacons' wives, upstanding church members. Amen? Because they don't obey the simple promises and the covenant that they made. And they make excuses for it. And there is no excuse
right.
for it. I'm warning you with the Word of God. Don't be flippant in receiving this truth. Ladies, wake up. Understand the world that is around you. Understand what your husband faces on a daily basis. It's real.
Yeah.
And yes, always look out for a hussy around the corner. And be jealous over your spouse. Amen? Extremely. You should be. Yeah? I'll tell you why you're not a few seconds old. If you're not, that is. And if you believe that I'm on a step in preaching this, take it up with God because it's in His book.
Right.
It's right there in plain sight. You see, it's the plainest things we should understand that I know, but we don't. The plainest truths we don't obey. Years and years and years we can see them in front of us and not obey them.
Come on.
He goes on to say that the wife and husband have not power over their own body. But the husband render the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife of the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, has not power of his own body, but the wife. A lot of the reason for adultery and fornication is the problem today that you will hear many women say, this is my body and I can do what I want to with it.
Right.
No, it's not. Amen.
Amen.
It's not. You entered into a covenant relationship with someone. You stood before God and said, I do. I will, God. You did that. And when you entered into that covenant, you made a promise. And guess what? The Bible is very clear on marriage. And it says that the wife has the power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband, has the power of his own body, but the wife. Now, if you're married, your body is not yours, but it belongs to them. You have no right to not obey the commands of God that are given in these texts when it comes to marriage and the duties that you are to perform in that marriage. It's a real issue. And the first time the issue of adultery comes up, like I said before, the first thing is that look to the man. What did he do? Not what didn't she do. Amen. Come on, folks, it's right in the Bible. Not what she didn't do, but what did he do? And that's wrong. First of all, it's none of our business to decide those matters. Anyway, in the first place, because we don't know. Amen? That's for God. That's for God and whoever is the authority over them to deal with them and help them. But it's not ours to judge. But as a master, I look at somebody, and these situations are coming in, the very thing I must think about is, have you both obeyed this? I know for certain you've not rendered unto each other due benevolence or kindness. Because you get to a point where one's strange, you have to be all unkind to each other not caring about each other. Amen. There's a great disconnect there somewhere. Amen. It needs to be found out. Selfishness always plays a role in adultery. In the sin of fornication, adultery, but it takes two. There just may be two people being selfish in that relationship, though, not just one. Amen? If a wife is selfish, she can lead a man to fornication or adultery. Did you hear me? Let me say this as plainly as I can. If you are selfish, wife, you can lead your husband down the road
right.
of wandering.
Amen.
Amen. Very easily. Say, I don't believe you. Well, why don't you read your Bible verse right there? Nevertheless, avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Now, that doesn't say you avoid having tea time. Does it? The sin says to avoid fornication. Yeah? Very specific. I'm just amazed that people don't get this. And then they're shocked when it happens. I mean, you really got shocked. I'm talking about the two people that are not doing what they're supposed to do. disobedience of the marriage covenant, and then they're shocked when something comes of it. You shouldn't be shocked if you've been disobedient.
Come on.
You should not be shocked by that. It should not be over the head shocked. Because God already said His word, if this happens, then this is going to happen. How many times has God said that to us? If this happens, then this will happen. If this happens, then this will happen. Yep. And then this happens, and then that happens. And you're like, I never saw that one coming.
Come on. Yeah.
Why not? Listen, I'm trying to protect you and your marriages. Protect you from a lot of heartache and pain. A lot of it could be avoided, though, like Paul said, with the duties of holy matrimony being fulfilled. If you're here today and not married, and you're a selfish person, you don't desire the companionship or to give yourself wholly to a husband or a wife, stay single. Did you hear me? If you're not willing to give yourself wholly, then stay single. Because you will do much damage in a marriage if you're not willing to give yourself. Because it's not 50% of you, it's all of you.
Right.
It's all of you. You will give all of yourself to that person if you want to be successful. If you want to be victorious, you will give all. Many Christian married couples miss this great truth of giving themselves one to another. This is also why a husband and a wife have no right to commit adultery on their spouse. The Bible says that your body is not your own. You have no right to do it. You have no authority to do it. You have no direction to do it at all. You have no right, period, to do that. You are taking something that is not yours and you are defiling it. Amen?
Right.
You have no right to do that. It's not yours. You are not your own. Your body is not yours. I know feminism has said that a woman's body is hers, but they'll all be discussing that in hell, I suppose.
Right.
Because that's exactly where that conversation belongs.
Right.
Because the Bible is very clear that your body is not yours, it's your husband. Now that would give you a different look on things when you decide to withhold, wife, what you should not withhold. That should give you something to pause and think about. I have no right to do this.
Yeah.
And the husband is the same way. I have no right to do this. I have no right to do this. Amen? Yeah. You have no right, wife, to take property that belongs to your husband and defile it. Husband, you have no right to take property that belongs to your wife and defile it. You say, I don't like that whole property thing. Really? Sorry. I like it a lot, by the way. If I look at my wife, I really enjoy it. I like it a lot. I really like a lot that she's mine. Amen? And see, that's the other thing. See, I've taken ownership of that, too, by the way. You may not like that either, but I have taken ownership of that. And she's mine.
Come on.
And that's why when you mess with her, you get my hammer on you. You understand that? That's when, if you want to see me get excited, like I've told you before, you can pick on me for all you want to, and I'm fine. But if you want to see a lion get loose out of the cage, you mess with my wife and you will see it. I will devour you. I promise you. I will take a lot of things with me, but if you jump down my wife's throat, you will find me in your face. Amen.
Yeah.
And see, if you don't like that, maybe that's because you haven't taken ownership of yours. But see, I have a mind.
Come on.
Because she's mine.
Really?
Her father gave her to me one day.
Come on, isn't it?
And I told him I'm not giving her back.
Glory to God.
She's mine. And I'm not giving her back. Amen?
Amen.
See, where did you lose sight of that along the way in your marriage? Did you forget that? Did you forget that God gave you that woman?
Come on.
She's yours, and you have a responsibility to care for her, and to love her, and to take care of her, and to take ownership of her. She has a responsibility to take ownership of you because she's yours, and you're hers. And she has every bit of a right to tell you what you do with your body.
Yep.
Amen. Right. She has every bit of a right to be uncomfortable with some floozies coming her out. She has every bit of a right to say, you know what, and this is, and he is mine. And I don't like I don't like this lady being around you. And I don't like her actions. And I don't like what she's doing. And I'm going to tell her to her face, I don't like what you're doing.
Amen.
Amen?
Come on.
You want to be here, what's wrong? I'm not to say anything to a lady.
Yeah.
You want to be able, there's a lady acting out loud around your husband. She ought to be able to look at that lady and say, you know what, you're making me real uncomfortable around my husband, the way you're acting around my husband. Why don't you back off a little bit? You may be well by it, but I don't like it. It bothers me. Amen? So why don't you back off a little bit? Amen? Does that bother some of you? Does that strike you as odd? It don't strike me as odd. You let some guy hang around my wife too much, and I'll kick him in the head probably.
Right.
I forgot. That's the old man. Never mind. I'm just saying,
that's the old man coming out a little bit. But
I mean, I'll just, you know, get him along his way a little bit. Oh, probably. But anyway, but that's your wife, amen? That's your husband. And it ought to be that relationship. It ought to be that strong. My goodness, what's happened to our families and our homes today that we don't do that. With our children even as well, but we don't take that and say, these are my kids, I'm going to raise them.
Amen.
And you're not going to influence them with your weight and garbage. Stay away from my kids. Amen?
Yeah.
And standing up and being bold and strong and taking ownership of what's yours. But see, that feminism has told us that, that might just upset somebody. That she shouldn't do that. No, no, she's her own person. You're her own. Chuck.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh wait. She was quiet. Many Christian couples miss this though. Neither do either one of you have the right to not fulfill the duties of the marriage as well. Right now there are needs. Right now there are some of you that have maybe not, and I don't know this by first hand, but what I'm saying is there may be some of you that have denied that marriage covenant, the duties that you have in that covenant. And you may cause, if you need sorrows in your marriage as well, and bitterness enters in, and trouble enters in, when a husband and wife doesn't fulfill that which they're supposed to, and these verses right here to avoid that fornication. And then when it comes, everybody stands around looking. Like what happened. I promise you, some of you need to go home and do some repenting and confessing. Some of you need to deal with one another, grab each other by the hand and deal with each other.
Amen.
Amen. Because I'll tell you something right now, the devil would love nothing more than to bring your marriage down.
Right.
He would love nothing more than to destroy your marriage. I mean, I see couples today. And I just wonder if they're just married people that are Christian, but they're just kind of what the world calls partners, I guess. Because the affection's not there, the love is not there. I mean, are you scared to hold your wife's hand or give her a hug in front of people? Are you scared of that or something? You shouldn't be.
Amen.
You shouldn't be.
Come on.
You ought to have, there ought to be affection there between a husband and wife. And women and other people around your husband ought to know that you are affectionate with your husband.
Yeah.
They ought to know that. They ought to see that. That ought to be plain to them. That has to be seen to them. Because otherwise, there are always people around, lurking around.
Right.
Yeah. There ought to be that affection, that closeness there. Amen?
Yep.
See, I don't like someone owning my body. It's mine. No, you got married, so it's not yours.
Right.
Show me a home that has a lot of bitterness and strife and anger between the husband and wife, and I'll show you a home of a husband and wife that are very selfish. They're not giving themselves to each other. And they're warring in the home. No home will stay happy when a man and woman withhold from each other that which is their duty to do. It won't stay happy, I promise you. Scripture promises you more than I do, it promises you. which are guarantees that a home will not stay happy if a husband and wife does not fulfill these things. And then they wonder why when it happens. The command is given not to defraud one another except for a time of consent. That defraud means to deprive of rights, either by obtaining something by deception or by taking something wrongfully without the knowledge or consent of the owner, to cheat, followed by it before the thing is taken, as to defraud a man of his right. So this verse basically that says, defraud ye not one another except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. This verse is telling us that we are not under normal, so it's telling us that under normal circumstances you are never to defraud one another or keep or withhold from one another that which the marriage covenant says that you're to do to avoid fornication. You are never to withhold that from one another except to be with time, with consent for a time. Health concerns, issues like that, obviously. That's what the scripture is saying. If you read what the Jews used to do in this circumstance, if one was found withholding of the covenant, then the man went to the temple and told him about it. Oh man. They put the lady's name. Have you ever read this? They put the lady's name on the scroll or whatever on the wall, and they would and she would be separated from her husband if she would not obey after continued warnings. If she would not, they would separate her, and for 1 year, if she would be alone, she would lose the dowry that her husband had, and her husband was given, and everything else, and she would be banished alone forever. They would not allow her to remarry, and he would not. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying that's what they did. That's what they would do over circumstances, like, because they saw it as such a serious crime to defraud one another because of what it led to. Amen? They knew what it would lead to. And it was such a huge thing for them to fight that off. That they would do this and make a spectacle of it. But this is telling us, it's very clear this text is, that it's actually saying that if a man commits adultery on his wife, then he is actually defrauding her as well. When he goes out and commits adultery, he has defrauded his wife, he has robbed, he has stolen, he has withheld that which was not his right to do. It also is saying, though, that if a wife is defrauding her husband, then she is actually cheating him out of her right as well, and could possibly lead that man to sin. So the same thing goes. She could be defrauding the covenant from within, while he is defrauding the covenant from without. Both are breaking the covenant, and both are guilty. Amen? I'm amazed how hard it is for people to really grasp this thing, but it is in churches, you see. You know how many husbands I've had, not just in this church, but in other churches and everywhere, and talking to other Christian men at meetings and other things like that, that have said that this is a major problem for somebody that hits a certain age, that all of that romance ends, all of that stuff ends, and they basically feel as if they are alone with no one, and they have no option because they cannot go out and commit adultery because they know it's wrong, so they stay and they wait for something to happen in their marriage to turn right. And you know what they say? Preachers don't ever talk about it either. They won't preach about it, they won't cover it, they won't counsel with it, they won't deal with it, they stay away from it. Why? Because there's a lot of women in the church and they don't want to make them mad. But God sent me to make women mad. So I'm used to it now. It's part of my life. It's just what I do on a daily basis. That's why God gave me $2 and a wife to make them mad. So you see, and that's why God put me to church, to make them mad. So I come to grips with that and I accept my job. Amen? I'm kidding you, but that's what it seems like sometimes. But that is what I've got. That's what Scripture will do. It will upset people. But you know what? I'd rather you be upset like this than have the other thing happen.
Amen.
Where somebody's, the covenant's gone, it's broken, damaged. And again, like we talked about this morning, I explained to two little kids or two kids, three kids, whatever, how the marriage has failed, how you failed. Yeah. Husbands and wives, this is one of the main reasons for adultery and for fornication, for adultery and for marriage and divorce among Christians today. You know, I respect evangelists that take their families with them on the road and they tough it out on the road.
Right.
But I'll be honest with you when I say this, I'm very leery about a man that stays home for months, away from his home for months at a time without his wife.
Yeah.
I am very leery about that.
Right.
I don't really support that, I'll be honest with you. Because I just don't believe a man ought to be away from his wife for 5, 6, 7, 8, 2 months,
yeah.
3 months on the road away from his wife, never see. That's not healthy, brother. That's not healthy at all. Being in hotel rooms where you have pornography right at your hand right there, you have no intimacy with your wife, you're not around her, she doesn't hold your hand, you're not with her, you're not around the kids, you're off by yourself. You know how many preachers have committed adultery out there preaching the so-called circuit that they preach today? Do you know how many have done that? Thousands.
Right.
And they're gone for months at a time away from their wives.
Right.
I don't want to be away from my wife for a day.
Let
alone for a month.
It
drove me nuts being with Roy down at the Baptist History School. I was gone a week. Ever since I've been married, I was never away from my wife for a week. Ever since we've been married for almost 10 years, I've never been away from her. It bothered me. It just bothered me. I was so used to having my daughter scream in my ear and my son want to play and my wife there that I wasn't used to. It was weird. It was a weird feeling being away from my family. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to enjoy being away from your family.
Right.
And just on the road like that and doing that and doing that, I don't agree with that. I don't think so. If you're going to be an evangelist, if you really believe biblical evangelism is that, then do what Brother Alexander does. Get one of those big, old, huge things and travel down the road together with the family and school, homeschool your family and take care of your kids and have your wife right there with you.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
I never seen scripture where you're supposed to just walk away and abandon the family for God.
Right.
No. I don't see that one in scripture anywhere. In this day and age, at the height of wickedness that we live in today,
yep.
You're asking for trouble.
Yes.
You're just asking for trouble in this day. I mean, it's just, the world is waxing worse and worse. Temptations in your face at an all-time high, folks. You need to be strong in the marriage covenant. The marriage vows need to be kept. You need to be strong in your relationship with your wife. Let me say this. A lady can share in the blame when a husband goes awry too. And the reason I say that is that if she has not fulfilled the covenant, then she can be part of his 80-minute sin. And some people don't like that. They say, well, that's giving an excuse. No, I'm not giving an excuse. God gave me an excuse.
Yeah.
Don't you blame me. God gave me an excuse. I'm tired of rebellious women doing that. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm so sick and tired of it. Because I hear the men, and I see them, and I see them not wanting to do wrong and begging for prayer and strength. Because they don't want to be wrong. I've seen it, folks. You ladies aren't on the side of that when you see a man breaking in tears, bawling over it. Because he doesn't want to do wrong, but he's hurt. I'm telling you, it's real, and it needs to be preached at a lot of churches, amen.
Right.
It needs to be preached all over the place.
Right.
I'm ready to swim it up.